I was on a bus, and there was this man who was on the bus, and he was homeless. And he was a little bit belligerent. He'd soiled himself. He was just like somebody who'd obviously been on the bus many times, and depending on how he behaved, the bus driver let him stay on the bus or not, you know? And I got on the bus, and I was looking at him, and I just said, I really wished I understood how this man got to the point where he was soiling himself on a bus. I needed to know what his lifeline was such that he ended there, you know? And I became, I looked in the window and I looked to see if there was, and I saw a reflection and there was a man, and I thought the man was sitting next to me. So I looked next to me and there was nobody on the bus next to me. And yet in the reflection, I saw this man. And I knew it's happening again. I'd become this, like, you know, man on this bus. And the other guy looked over at me and he recognized me. And I'd become a man that he had known, who was important to him, who he had wondered about or had meant something to him. And I got his attention. And he, in all his, who knows, you know, I'm sure that he had lost reality and he was really, you know, probably even violent at that point. But when I looked over at him, he looked over at me, and even in all that insanity, he recognized this shouldn't be happening. And he became very upset. And he said, "That, who are you? Girl, how'd you become that?" And he knew who I was. And I immediately just had to run off the bus. All I knew was that I needed to get the hell off the bus, that I had become, it had happened again. And I had to leave. You know, and like, I don't think that people get that. That's like, people ask why I live the way I do. Like, why do I separate myself and why do I move out to a place like this? You don't really understand. It becomes a practical thing. You don't know when this is going to happen to you, and you don't know how it's going to affect your life. So you can't just isolate yourself. You leave people. It becomes your way of living, your reality.
I'm Jim Perry, and you are listening to Euphemet, a show about the unknown and our relationship to it. On this edition, a girl and a boy, a chameleon and a comedian. Who are we really when we can be anyone, shape-shifting through the night, leading to something new? Next on Euphemet.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I do love getting older. The only thing I don't like about getting older is that I'm losing my mind. And I don't mean I'm going crazy. That's happened long ago. But I dated a girl who could shapeshift. After that, everything's different.
Ryan Singer is a comedian based in Los Angeles. Noted for his inclusion of esoteric topics in his bits, Ryan makes clear he is no stranger to the anomalous. He uses his own transformational experiences to present his most truthful identity and viewpoint, one in which challenges the audience to embrace the strange.
I mean, if we just look at the track listings on this new album that just came out, Stay Beautiful Forever. I mean, forever also is a thing. Like, you know, immortality is something that I'm obsessed with. Like, that tour was called Live Forever Tonight. Immortal For Now was, I have t-shirts. Losing My Mind, but Crystals and Witches, I Believe in Bigfoot, Reincarnation, Future Man, that's a, you know, if a man from the future came back, time traveling, Teleportation, Singularity. So it's definitely stand-up comedy for a new way of thinking, maybe. I mean, I hate to, like, that sounds kind of arrogant, but I mean, it's not the difference between men and women. Some of that classic stand-up comedy stuff will seep in, of course, because I love stand-up comedy and I've loved it ever since I first heard it when I was a kid. But, or why else would I devote my life to it? But, like, I did a joke, and no one gets this joke, but I think 5 years from now people will get it, where I'm like, I can be relatable. You know, sometimes I'll have to tell a crowd, like, listen, I know this is a lot. We're talking about us being robots. We're talking about all kinds of stuff. But I can sit up here and talk about the differences between space and time, you know, trying to make it. And then I do, like, jokes. Like, space is always like, hey, give me some room. And time's like, I need a minute, you know. And, like, people usually just kind of stare at me. I mean, I've always been kind of a problem in the way that I do like to challenge. I've always had a hard time with authority, a very difficult time with authority. None of us want to be told what to do. None of us want to be told what to do, and none of us want to be talked down to. And so when people tell me that there are rules in stand-up comedy, or this is why you have to do something, and, you know, I'm like, well, watch me not do that, you know? And do you have, as a result, a career that ends up being a little more on the outskirts of the world, especially when it comes to mainstream? Sure. But it's fun out here. No one tells me what to do. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not saying that, like, no one tells me what to do. I mean, like, I don't have anyone in my career, like, a manager, agents, people. I have a manager, but she's on board. But, like, no one's trying to tell me what to do with my career. But one thing is for sure, that the people who do like me, they like the version of myself that I'm happy with putting out there. Because any entertainer puts out it's a version. Like you say, it's a face, you know, it's a version of yourself. I know for a fact that there are people in the entertainment industry that if I'm brought up, it is, oh, that guy's crazy. That's the conversation. I mean, I think when you're a person who's had paranormal or supernatural experiences and you live in the modern Western world where science rules everything with an iron fist, you are made to feel like a fool if you believe in anything that isn't, you know, in line with everything they say is possible. So when you step out of line, people feel threatened by you, even if they don't realize it. We were kind of talking about it earlier today, driving back from the crystal shop, the rock shop. And because when people understand the world around them, it gives them a feeling of security and safety. And then when you come along and say, I dated a woman who could shapeshift, and they know you're not kidding, I don't really know what the process in their mind is, because I can't be inside their mind, but I can only imagine. They're like, oh, this guy's trying to tell me everything about the world that I believe is true is not true, essentially, in some kind of way. He's crazy. Oh, I know how to compartmentalize this. This guy is mentally insane. He's delusional. And I don't really have to deal with him in a serious way. And not only that, he's stupid. Or even if he's not crazy, guess what? He's really stupid if he thinks he saw that. Because there's people who are really smart who will tell him he's stupid. And I'm just going to go with that. And so they think you're dumb. They think you're crazy. They think you're sick or something like that. And that's the price you pay, I guess, if you try to live your honest life.
I'm talking about my memory. I lost my memory. Like, my memory's slipping. This is a true story. This is embarrassing. A few months ago, I forgot the word rectangle. Like, one of the first 10 words we learned. I just couldn't. I was like, oh, what is it? It's like, I had to Google two sides equal in length longer than other two sides. It's a true story. I did. And the results came back, we don't need you anymore. I was like, that's very fair, Google. We do not need me. But it's even more embarrassing why I needed to remember the word rectangle. I was in my apartment in Los Angeles. I have three roommates, not trying to brag. And But I've got the room with the walk-in closet, right? And so I cleared that out, and I put a desk in there. It's my laboratory. So I stay up until about 4:30 in the morning every night. I'll be writing in yellow legal pads and all capital print letters about all kinds of fun stuff. On this particular night, I'd been researching astrology, right? And I was like, oh, my God, dude, this is amazing. I'm channeling Source right now. No one has made a geometry-based astrology system where everybody's a shape. Oh, whoa, dude. People may or may not remember me for my comedy, but they're definitely going to remember me for this, dude. This is amazing. Oh, everybody will be a shape. They'll know how to better fit into the world around them. Oh, this is going to help so many people. Some people will be a circle. Some people will be a square. Some people will be a... What the fuck is... Oh, God. It's like two capital L's 69-ing. Like, what is... And that's when I had to Google two sides equal... And listen, the irony is not lost on me that a guy who thinks he traversed from the world of comedy into prophecy, because let's be honest, that's what happened, couldn't remember the simplest word of the prophecy, right? Like, you're not a prophet if you can't remember the fucking word rectangle. You know what I mean?
Ryan's motto, "It's more fun to believe," is as simple as it is profound. For some, this casual persuasion to keep an open mind is not easy. As it turns out, for most, it's harder to believe. Especially when Ryan shares stories from a relationship he had with a mysterious girl. She was another soul in the clubs of LA, in the business of trading faces, hoping to find a home among the stars, to be accepted for who she really was, in this case, whomever she may have been at the moment, whose ever face she may have been wearing.
When I was younger, I moved to Los Angeles from Ohio back and forth a bunch of times. I was very early on in comedy, so I was living in a sectioned off part of a French woman's mansion in the Hollywood Hills. I had an air mattress that had a hole in it, so I'd fall asleep inflated. I'd wake up deflated every morning. It was a perfect metaphor for my life. Like, I'd be up till 4 in the morning, like, oh, I'm gonna make it in this town. And I'd wake up like, oh, the harsh reality of sleeping on a fucking floor. So I started an open mic with a friend of mine at this bar in West Hollywood, pretty happening little spot. It was called Miyagi's, and it's awful. It's like the worst open mic in the city of Los Angeles, which is really accomplishing something. This young woman signs up and performs. I've never seen her before. It's her first time ever doing comedy. I mean, she was cute, and, you know, oh, she might, you know, be funny someday. You know, that's what comics say about each other. Oh, they might be funny someday. So I go back up on stage and she's gone. Bartender, who's a friend of mine, says, hey, that girl wrote something in your notebook. And I immediately become very angry. That's like writing in a teenage girl's diary. What are you doing? You don't look in my notebook. You don't touch my notebook. And you sure as hell don't write in my notebook, right? Those are sacred pages for me writing about my dick. You know, like awful jokes about my genitals. So I'm like, what'd she do? What? And so I look through the pages and I find she left her name and her number.
Told me, like, hey, that young woman wrote something, was writing something in your notebook while you were on stage. And I was like, oh, really? And I found it and it was your phone number. So I called you. And then
that night you called?
That night I called you. And we started chatting. And then you asked me the question. You said,
are you spontaneous?
And I said, yeah, I'm spontaneous. And then you said, well, let's hang out right now. And it was really late. It was pretty late at the time. And and I said, I don't know. I got some stuff to do tomorrow. I don't know.
They're real spontaneous.
Yeah. And then that's all it took. And then, boom, I think an hour later, we were hanging out for the first time.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, challenge accepted. So I go over to her house, her apartment. And she lived on the west side. Okay, so I drove over there. We're hanging out. And this is back when I was like a bad boy. I'm smoking cigarettes right on the back her little balcony. And she's got a nice place. She's got a roommate, but it's a nice place because she's like a rocket scientist during the day. So she works at an aerospace company out by the airport, Los Angeles airport. And so we're talking and I was even more of a maniac back then. I mean, maybe I'm still the same kind of maniac, but I'm just more grounded. But, I used to believe, now this is the craziest part of the story for me. I used to believe that there was a lizard living inside of my brain.
I don't know what your memory of it is because it's been a while now, but we were on your back patio in your apartment in Culver City where you were living at the time.
And people are like, what? Yeah, that's exact. That's the response you probably should have.
Well, yeah, that's just, you know, it's going to sound weird, but I got a lizard in my brain.
And I was like, okay, and you must have thought that I thought that you were weird, when in fact I was like, he might be the one.
I would have like a weird tingle feeling in the back, lower part of my skull, on the back of my neck. And I couldn't explain it other than it felt like a lizard was inside trying to use its tiny little claws to claw out. So I just said it was a lizard in my brain. And whenever that feeling was happening a lot, it always signified like some major change in my life was coming, right?
Wow, I remember exactly that. Yeah.
I remember it was dark out.
Kind of like now.
Yeah.
Except for not so much crickets and...
Yeah, you know, yeah, and a much smaller space out there.
And my roommate, I just remember thinking she was asking me to like give her a signal if I, because I didn't know you and I had already talked to you, her about you. So she was like, you know, in waiting for me to be like, he's weird, you know, and little did she know that I was like, go to bed. He's got a lizard. He's the one.
So and then she goes, if you're so weird, I could probably tell you. She's like, I can tell you. I can confide in you because of how weird you are. So like, okay, confide in me. What about what's about you that's weird? And she says,
well, my family is, you know, Middle Eastern, but I was born in the United States. I was born in the Virgin Islands.
Oh, okay. The Virgin Islands.
Yeah, so I was born in the States, but my family is from overseas.
Some people in my family think I'm evil. And I don't know how to explain it. And it's more than just like my eye color will change every once in a while, which I was like, oh, I've had that happen, like depending on what I'm wearing. You know, sometimes my eyes will at least appear to be a different color, more gold than green, and sometimes more hazel or brown. And she's like, yeah, I sometimes appear to be different.
Who, you know, there was not, I didn't have a group. I didn't have a place that I could, like, talk about what I was going through at the time.
Like, can you tell me what you were going through, like, at the time? Do you remember?
I knew that I could become whoever I needed to be for the group that I was with. Yeah. And it wasn't like being a popular person. It wasn't like being a nerd, so to speak. I physically could become a different person. I could... And I didn't even, you don't even, you're not even self-aware enough at the time when you're younger to understand that. But you knew that you just were... You were physically different than other people around you. And when I heard you talk about something that was physical, a physical change, feeling like you were physically different than other people, that's when I knew that, like, I don't know if he's the same as who I am, but I might have found somebody that I, like, could tell this to.
And I'm like, oh, it sounds pretty cool to me. It sounds like you're... You know, like an X-Men. And she goes, you wouldn't think it's so cool if you saw it. Trust me, I've never had that. No one's ever responded in such a way to think that it's awesome. You know, everyone thinks I'm like either the devil or... And so I was like, well, this sounds pretty cool. I can't wait to see it sometime. And she's like, I don't think you'll be saying that.
Next, be careful what you wish for. You may just get it in a surprisingly unrecognizable way. After this, on Euphemet.
We'd had sex.
We had just had sex.
Yeah.
And
I was just saying, that's very integral to the conversation.
And you were a different.
So we're just laying there in bed, you know, just kind of quiet. And I'm like staring off at the ceiling or something, and she's on my left. And I turn my head to look at her to say something, whatever it was going to be, like, hey, do you want a glass of water? Or who knows? This was at her apartment again. And I look over at her, and she's not her. She's a different person. She was like a blonde-haired white woman. Stark contrast to the woman she was, dark-haired, of Middle Eastern descent. Like, and she was 100% correct when she said I would not be excited about that happening, because I freaked out in a way that I've never freaked out before. In that moment, I felt like, you know what? I always thought I was going to go crazy. Well, this is the moment it happens, because I am now crazy. Like, to be to be so sane and conscious of losing your mind, which sounds like there's such dichotomy in that sentence, right? That it's a paradox. But in that moment, I was like, I've always thought that I would go crazy someday. And in fact, that day is here. And so I literally, physically, I have a physical response to where she understands what's happened without me even saying anything.
I tried to calm you down, and I said, we're in Los Angeles. We're in Culver City.
I didn't know where anything.
You said, okay, we're in Culver City, but where?
You're in my apartment.
And I was like, we're in Culver City, you know, Los Angeles. We're in Culver City, Los Angeles, California, the earth. And I kept going and going, and you wouldn't calm down.
I don't remember how I left.
You were so upset,
but,
though.
Yeah.
And I knew that it was because I realized at that point that it wasn't a matter of trying to get people to believe what was happening. That wasn't my goal up to that point, was trying to get people to believe. Now it was more that, could they handle it?
Yeah.
That was a stark contrast, because I realized even more scary than the notion that no one ever believed that this could happen is, how would they react once they understood that this could happen?
And so then after I kind of get my reality back a little bit and realize, like, I've experienced something that I thought, you know, previously would have been the coolest thing in the world. In reality, I freaked out. I left. I just grabbed my shit and I was like, I got to get out of here. And I left, which, considering we had just had sex, so we were both vulnerable, and we were in her house, and I just left, which is like such a man thing to do. Let alone if you just had a crazy paranormal experience and you can't handle it. And instead of sitting there and trying to work through it and figure out what happened, even though you said it would be the coolest thing you ever experienced previously, then when it finally happens, you react exactly how she told you you would. And that doesn't even come into your mind. Didn't occur to me. She told me that I was going to freak out, so I better not freak out. I freaked out at first, but I better work through this because she told me, and I said it was going to be awesome. None of that even occurred to me. I was just like, get the hell out of here. So I took off.
Spoken to you in so long. You have no idea how crazy it is for me to realize you remember that too.
Of course I do. I'll never forget it.
I wasn't a different person emotionally. I was a different person physically.
Yeah.
And I knew that I don't know how I knew. I knew that I was somebody that you had already known.
Yeah, it was. You were a woman I knew from my past.
That really happened.
Yeah, it really happened.
And you freaked out.
I totally freaked out.
You
and if I remember correctly, I was just kind of sitting on the edge of your bed, kind of like rocking back and forth.
I wanted you to get it so
badly.
You were my only person.
Yeah.
If you didn't get it, no one would.
I know, and I've never forgiven myself for this. And it haunts me every day, because I told you, no, this is awesome. This is really
fucking
cool.
But that's before you saw it with your own eyes.
Exactly. And intellectually, I believed that I was on board with it and could handle it. And in reality, it was a totally different story.
And that changed my life. When I started wondering, would anyone, even if I got to the goal of getting them to believe what was happening, would they be able to handle it?
Yeah, and it changed my life forever as well. Because ever since that moment, I've realized saying something is one thing.
Right.
And being something is another. And
I never held that against you, though.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Because I don't think we've ever really spoken about it.
No, and that's why I think to my own self, I might have said that it never happened, because there was only one other person that could verify that it did.
And he's walking around with a lizard in his brain.
So, you know?
We eventually start talking again, and we don't talk about the night really. And that weird phenomenon happens when people share a crazy paranormal experience together, where they don't speak about it afterwards. Happens almost every time when people have shared paranormal experiences. They might speak about it in the moment briefly, but it doesn't seem to really come up ever again for the most part, which I don't know how to explain that, but it's just something that's true in the people I've talked to. And we have another date. And then we see each other and nothing crazy happens, you know, that kind of thing. It's just normal about it. And then she cancels a date we're supposed to have because she leaves me a voicemail message that just says, "Can't hang out tonight, it's happened again." That was the entire message. So I was like, not this time.
I walk through the door. You're wearing a huge baggy sweatshirt. And I think you had shorts on. I can't remember if it was shorts or sweatpants.
Neither.
But it was a huge
Because
baggy
I grabbed that at the last minute. Because even at that point when I was kind of resigned and almost grateful to figure out how you would react, I was afraid. This is something I'd been hiding since I was 8. You know, like, and whatever was going to happen was about to happen.
She tells me, I was like, so what's going on? What happened? She goes, I'm at work at my desk. A woman who's pregnant stops in front of my desk to have a conversation with someone else. And they're having a conversation. She just looks very happy. And I remember thinking to myself, like, oh, she looks so happy. I wish I could be happy like her. And then she finished her conversation and took off and walked off. I didn't think anything of it until, you know, whatever time it was later in the day after that had happened, she starts to realize her clothes are no longer fitting her body. They're becoming stretched.
Your eyes went down immediately.
And I'm like, what's going on? What happened? What is it?
I was relieved. And, because I could just, like, at least tell you.
I can't remember if your roommate was home.
You put your hand on my stomach.
Yeah, yeah.
And you felt it.
And I'm like,
and you freaked out. You felt the baby.
Oh,
that didn't exist in theory.
Yeah.
Nothing had happened. You felt it.
She's like, I am becoming pregnant, sitting there at my desk. So I call my boss and I tell him I don't feel well. I have to leave early. That I'm very sick. So he can't stop me or whatever. And so I grab my stuff and I cover up and I just take off. I was like, are you still pregnant? And she goes, I can't show you. I can't show you. You're going to think I'm a freak. You're going to freak out again. I was like, I promise I won't freak out. I was like, I promise. I'm like, I grew up in Southern Ohio. All my stepsisters were pregnant when they were like 17, 18 years old. I've been around pregnant women. This isn't going to freak me out. And so she lifts up her sweatshirt. And
it wasn't fake.
It wasn't fake. And it was like you swallowed a beach ball.
It was, and I was, yeah, it was very evident that it wasn't anything else.
I remember even, I think, putting my ear to it at one point to see if I could hear anything. Like, oh, I want to hear, see if I can feel it kick or hear anything that's going on in there.
Oh my God.
I remember just being so, like, mesmerized by it. I remember at one point we were just like, We were like, well, what do we do?
Yeah.
And so, if I remember correctly, we got a bottle of wine out. Because I think the consensus among the two of us was, well, there's no way I'm really pregnant.
No, and the thing is like I said, there's relief. And nobody knows how they'll react again, like in those situations. But there's relief. Because you saw it. You saw it. You physically agreed, and you could look down.
It's not all in your head now.
It wasn't in my head, and that was the first time. And probably, I didn't.
Is that the last time?
Believe it. Of course. I mean, ever since then, like I said, and this isn't meant to be a guilt thing because it really isn't. I thought if he couldn't handle this, no one can.
The world is never going to be the same.
Never going to be the same.
And it never has been.
No, but yet.
And that's why we're here tonight.
The interesting thing is, I wonder what would have happened is nothing would have really been different depending on either way you react, because I knew something was not right. Something about the way the world interpreted the world wasn't true.
Yeah, the laws and the rules of reality
weren't true.
As everyone has seemingly accepted them.
Then what? Question mark. And that really is the best way to describe what my life has been like since then. It's then what? How do you go ahead living your life when you know the rules aren't quite what they are, but you don't know what they are either?
Yeah, because people obviously go immediately to,
"You're crazy."
Okay, well, this happened, then explain it. And if you don't have an explanation, then you're crazy.
Right.
And it's like, no, I don't know why this is.
You're not, and you're being very vulnerable when you say that, because that's what I mean by, like, you have to be very picky with who you talk to about this. It's because you're exposing a very vulnerable truth, which is, I don't believe what you say is true, but I don't know what is true. You're voluntarily saying to them, I don't know. But there's no, like, there needs to be somebody who concedes that they don't know either. And the average person seems to be convinced that what they hear is true.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Euphemet. I'd also like to thank Audible and Empty Faces for their support. Please check out their offers in our show notes and take advantage of these really great partners to the show. Portions of Ryan Singer's great new comedy record, Free Love, were heard during this edition. As the name suggests, Ryan is giving the record out for free. Visit his website at ryansingercomedy.com to download now, and check out his podcast, Me and Paranormal You. Make sure to join us on Facebook. Our group, The Society of Euphemet, is where myself and listeners go to share their own experiences and talk about the show. Please join us. You can follow us at Euphemet on social media, and me at It's Jim Perry on Twitter and Instagram. As always, please remember to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes. That helps the show tremendously. This has been Euphemet. I'm Jim Perry, and until next time, keep looking up.